Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 28 December 2025, 2025 Christmas special.
All right, before we get started, first of all, my secretary over here, Debbie Dean, she will be getting thank you notes to all of you for your very gracious and generous gifts this Christmas. But I'd like to say thank you from the pulpit. Thank you for your graciousness and generosity. It was you're a very unique and special congregation, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you. But again, the head secretary, Honcho, she will be getting all the official stuff out there. Also, this next week, we have a different schedule, and some of you can read and some of you can't. So the schedule change is we have class tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Bible class. We have class Tuesday, 7 o'clock. So Monday and Tuesday, and we're in the 2025 Christmas special. And I have taught the Christmas special for many moons now, but I've kind of been up here at this level. And this time, teaching this year, 2025, I'm diving deep down into the deeper levels to communicate the truth of the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know is the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. That's the greatest miracle the world will ever know. When the eternal God took on true humanity. So we're looking at it, and we're looking at it in more detail than ever before. So all this week, today and tomorrow, and last week, Tuesday, is all going to be this Christmas special. The following Sunday, next Sunday, we'll still be in it. I may be in the Christmas special till 4th of July. You never can tell. So on Wednesday, we have communion at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, communion followed by a movie. And then you can go to the four winds. So class Monday, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Wednesday, communion at 1 p.m., followed by a movie. All right? Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. With music before class was Handel's Messiah, and this is Handel's Messiah is based on Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the so great salvation he accomplished for us on the cross. And we thank you, sir, that by simply faith in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know was prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It was prophesied by Micah, Micah 5 verse 2. Micah gave us the place where the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God would take place, in Bethlehem. It was prophesied by Isaiah, Isaiah 7, verse 14, where he prophesied in the fact that this would be a virgin conception and a virgin birth, Isaiah 7, verse 14. And then Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 is one of the greatest prophetic passages describing this greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the miracle Messiah in hypostatic union. Isaiah 9:6, we've only exegeted the first clause, just the first clause. But in that first clause, we have a doctrine that is one of the most powerful and essential doctrines for you as believers in Christ to totally understand. And that is the doctrine of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. And that includes also the true doctrine of kenosis. So in Isaiah 9:6, in the first clause, it says, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. Now that first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes three things. It emphasizes the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah and the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. Now the second phrase, a son has been given for us. That emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. It puts the spotlight on the deity of Jesus Christ. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. The child to be born is the eternal Son of God. Thus, together, these two phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And therefore, he is the miracle Messiah. He is the unique person of the universe. Because a child has been born for us, the true humanity of Christ. A son has been given for us, the undiminished deity of Christ. The miracle of that very first Christmas is the first advent of Jesus Christ. This great prophetical passage, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, presents the phenomenal doctrine of the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because the child has been born for us, his true humanity, the true humanity of the Messiah, a son has been given for us, the undiminished deity of the Messiah. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the unique person of the universe. Now, one of the most important doctrines that you can learn concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the doctrine of the hypostatic union. Now, I have never, in the Christmas specials in the past, I've never gone into depth in this doctrine, but we're going to do it this time around. So get your pen and ready, but we've already looked at part of point one. Part of point one is the definition, and we have the first eight subpoints of point one, but we got a lot more. So point one, definition on this very, very important doctrine concerning the Messiah, the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the hypostatic union. We noted subpoint one. In the person of the incarnate Christ, there are two natures. One person, two natures. He's divine and he's human. He's deity, he's humanity. He's undiminished deity, he's true humanity. Two, these two natures are inseparably united without mixture or loss of separate identity, without loss or transfer of properties or attributes, the union being personal and eternal. Third, from the time of the virgin birth and on forever, our Lord Jesus Christ has been and always will be undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. For the two natures of Christ maintain their complete identity, though being joined in personal union forever. There, point five, there is no mixture of the two natures. Two natures, one person. The human nature always remains the human nature, and the divine nature always remains the divine nature. Six, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the theanthropic person. You know how to spell that? Theanthropic person? Okay, I think you can handle person. Theanthropic. He is the theanthropic person. That means he is the God-man. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the God-man. He is the unique person of the universe. He is the miracle Messiah. 7, the two natures are united without transfer of attributes. It is impossible to transfer an attribute of one nature to the other nature without destroying that nature. A change of attributes involves a change of essence, and therefore there is no change in the essence of deity nor the essence of humanity. And then 8, the spotlight of this doctrine concerns the union of two natures, divine and human, in one hypostatic union, in one person. Well, that's what we noted last Sunday, the first 8 subpoints of definition. Now, here we go. Ready? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, there you go. We're going to close in prayer and that's it. 9. Beginning with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, a human nature was inseparably united forever with the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And when you say Christ, Christos, Christ, you're saying Messiah. Christ is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach, Messiah. So when you say Christ, you're saying Messiah. And Jesus Christ, that very first Christmas, the Messiah, the miracle Messiah, we celebrate the incarnation and virgin birth of the miracle Messiah on that very first Christmas. That is the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. So the spotlight of this, beginning with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, a human nature was inseparably united forever with the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Yet the two natures remain distinct, whole, unchanged, without mixture or confusion, so that Jesus Christ is true humanity and undiminished deity in one person forever. Subpoint 10. Since the first advent, it is no longer the divine nature alone which is expressed in his person, but the human nature as well. So since the first advent, that very first Christmas, it is no longer the divine nature alone which is expressed in his person, but the human nature as well. He was always eternal God. He was always the second person of the Trinity. He was always eternal God. He didn't become the God-man until that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So beginning with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, a human nature was inseparably united forever with the divine nature of Christ. 10. Since the first advent, it is no longer the divine nature alone which is expressed in his person, but the human nature as well. So 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. He is the miracle Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. He is the miracle Messiah. He is God with all the attributes of God, All the attributes of deity adhere to his deity, and they never cross over and become humanity. And likewise, all the attributes of humanity adhere to the humanity of Christ and never become deity. 12. The attributes of the divine nature could not be transferred to the human nature of Jesus Christ. The attributes of the divine nature could not be transferred to the human nature of Jesus Christ in order to help him to resist temptation or to meet the great problems of life in his humanity. The attributes of the divine nature could not be transferred to the human nature of Jesus Christ in order to help him to resist temptation or to meet the great problems he would face in his humanity in life. The human nature of Christ in hypostatic union had to depend entirely upon the incarnation plan of God the Father and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Very important. The human nature of Christ in his hypostatic union had to depend entirely on the incarnation plan of God the Father and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had to become perfect humanity to be our Savior and to solve the world problem of sin. In order to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father designed a plan for salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. But it required the Son of God to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and while he was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on his Son, and judge them in him. Only the humanity of Christ could go to the cross and die for our sins, not the deity of Christ. So deity, the eternal Son of God, had to become true humanity to carry out the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace. And with that true humanity, it was the humanity of Christ that was crucified on the cross. It was the humanity of Christ that God the Father gathered up the sins of the world and poured out those sins on Christ and judged them in Christ once and for all. It was the humanity of Christ. So he had to become true humanity. That's the miracle. He is the miracle Messiah. The undiminished deity, the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth to take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. And he did that. And because he did that, God offers a gift to anyone, any place, anywhere through simple faith in Jesus Christ. You receive the gift of eternal life, eternal salvation. So Jesus Christ had to become perfect humanity. One, to be our Savior, to go to the cross, to solve the world problem of sin. Two, to be our high priest He had to become true, perfect humanity to be our high priest. And we have a unique, in this dispensation, the church age, we're royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters you into union with Christ. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. In the Old Testament, those who believed in Christ were family of God. In the church age, the ones who believe in Christ are royal family of God because we are in union by the baptism of the Spirit. We're in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We're royal family of God. And something else happened that's totally unique in this dispensation. The universal priesthood of the church age believer. You're all a priest. You're all a royal priest. That never happened before. In the Old Testament, you had to be from the tribe of Levi. A specialized priesthood. Levitical priesthood. Only Levites could function as a priest in the Old Testament. And the sacrifices they offered were animal sacrifices, portraying Christ's work on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But in this dispensation, we have the universal priesthood of the believer. You're all a royal priest. And that enables you to represent yourself before the Father. You offer sacrifices too, spiritual sacrifices. So we have a universal priesthood of the believer. So Jesus Christ had to become perfect humanity to be our Savior, to carry out Operation Grace, to solve the world problem of sin, to be our high priest. Third, to be the mediator between God and man. The mediator between God and man. And four, to fulfill the promise of the Davidic covenant, that David's son, David would have a son who would rule forever. And that we have that coming up in this great prophetical passage, Isaiah 9, verse 6. And the government will rest on his shoulders. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. The first part is the first advent of Christ, and then the next part, the government will rest on his shoulders. That's the second advent of Christ, and he will rule planet Earth, the entire world. He will rule it with perfect justice and absolute righteousness. The government will rest on his shoulders, the Messiah, the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. So fourth, to fulfill the promise of the Davidic covenant that David's son would rule forever. 15, the two natures of Christ in hypostatic union. The two natures of Christ in hypostatic union remain distinct, whole, and unchanged. The two natures of Christ, one person, two natures, undiminished deity, true humanity. The two natures of Christ in hypostatic union remain distinct and whole and unchanged without mixture or confusion, so that one unique person, our Lord Jesus Christ, remains forever truly God and truly man. So that one unique person, our Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, remains forever truly God and truly man. Whatever the Bible says about either the divine or human nature of Christ must be attributed to the entire one person of Christ. Whatever is true of either nature is true of the entire person of Christ in hypostatic union. 16. Jesus Christ is not two persons. He's not two persons. But he is one person with two natures. Jesus Christ is not two persons, but he is one person with two natures. 17. Jesus Christ is the God-man, the theanthropic person, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. United in one person forever. Now, why am I taking the time to do this? There is a tremendous heresy out there called the Nestorian heresy. And the Nestorian heresy says that Jesus Christ is two persons. Jesus Christ is not two persons. That is the Nestorian heresy. 18. To deny that Christ is one person. To deny that Christ is one person is to deny the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. You are denying the first advent of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You are denying our so great salvation. To deny that Christ is one person is to not deny the incarnation, the first advent, and our so great salvation. That's point one, definition. Okay, now, point two, biblical documentation of the hypostatic union. Well, our number one passage is what we're having the Christmas special. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, our passage. Because a child has been born for us, true humanity. A son has been given for us, undiminished deity. So in that first phrase of Isaiah 9, 6, one of the greatest passages, prophesying that the Messiah would have the undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Isaiah 9, 6. Turn over to John 1, 1 and 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gospel of John. John 1, 1 and 2. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, and this is in a beginning which was not a beginning, there always existed the Logos, the Word. That's the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the living Word. So, in a beginning which was not a beginning, in eternity past, from all eternity past, there always existed the Logos, the deity of Christ. And the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ, was face to face with God. And the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. So the Logos, Jesus Christ, was face to face with God, God the Father, and the Word was God. He The Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning face to face with God. So there is the deity of Jesus Christ. Now go down to verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word, the deity of Christ, became flesh, true humanity. And the Word, the deity of Christ, became flesh, true humanity, and tabernacled among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the unique one from the Father, full of grace and truth. Unique one? He's the unique person of the universe. He's the God-man, the theanthropic person, the miracle Messiah. So the glory as of the unique one from the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. In verse 5, we have something that this is true. This is for every single one of you. All of you, right now. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your thinking, my thinking, every one of us is royal family of God. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible is called the Word of God. But what else is it called? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. So we're studying the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. So we're told here, your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That means you got to have the mind of Christ, the Word of God, a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. That means what we do here, Sunday, and normally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is the most important thing in the whole universe. There's nothing more important than that. Why? Because now you are assembling for what reason? To learn the mind of Christ and learn it, believe it, and get the mind of Christ in your heart. And that's what we're all told to do. Get the maximum amount of the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the Word of God in our heart. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Then, verse 6, who being in very nature, in His very essence, God. So, first of all, it says, being in His very essence, God. He is deity. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or seized or tried to attain. He already is eternal God. Verse 7. But He made Himself nothing. Now, here's where we got the hypostatic union combining with the doctrine of kenosis. The word here is kenao. K-E-N-O, long O. Kenao. And it's, you might have in your translation, the one I'm reading from says, but made Himself nothing. This was the verb kanao. It means the voluntary non-use. Make sure you get the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes in order to fulfill the incarnation plan that God the Father had for Him. God the Father designed the incarnation plan for His Son, Jesus Christ. Operation Grace, the cross. and solving the world problem of sin. So, but he made himself, he kanaoed himself, the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to fulfill the incarnation plan of God the Father. So he kanaoed himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, true humanity. So in verse 6, he is, in his very essence, he is God, deity. In verse 8, he is in a true humanity, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. In his true humanity, only true humanity of Christ could go to the cross and bear the sins of the world and provide salvation for us. Deity can't die, but the humanity of Christ went to the cross. And there was spiritual death followed by physical death, and then his resurrection, ascension, and session, where he was seated at the right hand of God the Father, and only humanity sits. Only humanity is seated. So, in being found in appearance as a man, true humanity, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the great morning star, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Pretty powerful passage. Well, we're going to take a break at this point and give you a 15 minute. There's some great munchies out there that my secretary brought. And so enjoy that, and then about 15 minutes, we'll have part two.